Our study tonight is in the book of Amos, chapter 8, verses 1 through 14, God's ultimate punishment of his silence. When God needed a messenger to the kingdom of Israel as it was at the height of its rebellion against him, the Lord sent Amos, a layman from Judah, to go north to Israel to voice severe judgment against that nation. Israel had tired of hearing God's prophets warn of his judgment for sin. So in fitting punishment, God would be silent after the nation had been punished by an invasion when she desperately desired a word from him. See, when people most desire a word from God is when they're in trouble. And when trouble has hit them and they don't understand what's going on, they really want that. And because they hadn't listened to God before, at that particular time, God says, I'm not going to tell them anything. So this ultimate punishment of divine silence is clarified in Amos 8, 1 to 4, and we can learn from it for our insight. I want to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. Amos 8, 1 through 14. Thus hath the Lord God shown unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit, or ripe fruit, either one. And he said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer or ripe fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. The songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fall, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, falsifying the balances by deceit, that we might buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, yes, and sell the refuse, that's what falls on the ground, mixed with the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this, and everyone mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up holy as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. It shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth as in the clear day. And I will turn your feasts into mourning, all your songs into lamentation. And I will bring sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head. And I will make it as the morning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread or thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst. They that swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall, and never rise up again. After receiving three visions from the Lord, Amos saw a fourth one, that of a basket of ripe fig, actually ripe fruit. When God then asked Amos what he saw in the vision, Amos said, a basket of ripe or summer or end of the year fruit. The Lord replied, the time is ripe for my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. This is a case where I really wish everybody knew Hebrew, because the Hebrew Bible is just a marvelous play of words on this thing. There's a rich play of words in this conversation that makes it very powerful. Ripe fruit translates the Hebrew word kais, and ripe time renders the word case. So when Amos thus told the Lord that he saw a basket of kais, God replied, case for my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. So the summer fruit, the sound of the summer fruit is very close to the end time. That's it. And of course, summer fruit, you have to eat it immediately, otherwise it will spoil, especially figs. The Lord added that when Israel's national punishment fell, the songs of the temple would turn to wailing. There would be many, many bodies everywhere on the ground, and there would be silence. Now, these two results of God's judgment, human grief and divine silence, are explained in verses 4 to 14. Since Israel had expressed greed and committed many acts of dishonest gain, the Lord would punish the nation with great mourning by the punishment of a Gentile invasion of Israel. God condemned the greedy who trampled the needy and destroyed the poor by asking, when would the new moon feast be over, that they might sell grain, and the Sabbath end that they might market wheat by skimping the measure, boosting the price and cheating with dishonest scales, buying the poor with silver and the needy for a pair of sandals that they could not afford to pay back, selling even the dirty soiled sweepings of the wheat mixed with the regular wheat. They didn't want to miss anything. All the people knew is that it was looked like good wheat, but there was wheat that had fallen in handling it. So they'd sweep it up, kind of sift it out, mix it in with the good wheat so they could make as much money as they could. It's really bad. Well, as a result of this, the Lord added that he would not forget any wicked thing this people did, that the land would indeed mourn, for God's judgment would rise like the annual flooding of the Nile in Egypt that upon receding left the landscape flattened. In Egypt, the Nile, as you know, every year overfloods its banks. And that's good for the people of Egypt because it brings silt and whatnot to refresh the farmland. When the flood goes down, everything's flat. And God says, that's a picture of what it's going to be when I judge. Well, God would bring the people gloom, turning their religious feasts into mourning and their singing into weeping, and he would make them wear sackcloth and shave their heads in deep grief so that they would mourn as if they had lost an only son in bitterness. In addition, God would severely punish his people with his silence when they most longed for a message from him, for they had long rejected his prophet's words that had warned them to repent. And it's interesting, God is very, very aware of how people respond to his word, how they react to it, whether they are accepting it or whether not. If people don't accept his word and he's gracious and he keeps going like this, he counts every single time. He adds it up. And then in the end, the chickens come home to roost, as they say. And we have to pay our dues for that. So God is very, he's not a fool. He will not let anybody do an end run around him when it comes to dealings at all. God would send a famine throughout the land, one that did not involve a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Men would stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for a word from the Lord, but they would not find it. In that day, even lovely young women and strong young men, those who were typically the most energetic of the people, they would faint because of their thirst for a message from God, and they wouldn't find it. At that time, those in Israel who had perverted the worship of God by compromising it with the golden calf idols of Samaria and Dan, or the image in Beersheba, would flock to the capital or traverse to the farthest points of a bravado appeal for a word from the Lord. The problem with these efforts was that the people had mingled the worship of God with idols to their shame. So any imploring for the Lord's response that utilized these wicked forms and places of worship was utterly futile. In fact, all it did is make the Lord angrier. So it's interesting that in the end, those who were involved in this final compromised effort to get a word from the Lord would fall, never to rise again. Apparently, that generation, when it happened, the Lord never did communicate to them. Now he communicated to a generation later that was in captivity because they had repented. But there came a point where God says, that's it. I'm not communicating with them anymore. Since Israel had long failed to heed God's warnings to repent, his punishment on her would fall. And along with that punishment, when Israel would long for a message from the Lord would be definitely silent. Since those who accept God's word are given more and those who reject it lose what even they have, that's Mark 4:24 and 25, may we value God's word and obey it to avoid his punishment of a spiritual famine of his word. Just get that passage here. It's a tremendous one. Mark chapter 4. I'll never forget reading this years ago. I think it was in Bible college at the time. And it brought me up short, and I said, man, I don't want to be guilty of this and have the Lord stop communicating me. That would be deafening. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. And Jesus said to them, take heed what you hear. See, the responsibility is always on the hear, on the listener. Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. The measure is kind of like someone holding out a cup or a container of some kind. And the size of the container you hold out is exactly what you're going to get, plus a little more. I used to work in helping the farmers harvest their grain, their corn, in the Midwest. And when they would have the auger bent out and be pouring the grain into the containers, if you took a 5-gallon bucket and held it out there, you get a 5-gallon bucket worth of grain. If you just took a coffee cup and put it out, you get a coffee cup, and the rest of the grain just pour all over it. And but that's the picture that's here. The size of the cup you hold out, the size you're going to get. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that has, to him shall be given. And he that has not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. So it's interesting, someone has made the statement that in the spiritual life, everybody's on a roof. And we're either sliding to the left or we're sliding to the right. No one is stationary. We're either going forward in our relationship with the Lord or we're going back. So it's very, very important to listen to what the Lord has for us so that we may get some insight. Dr. Walkie was he's my Hebrew prof when I was at Dallas Seminary. And we used to sit there marveling at how much scripture this man knew. And it would just flow out of him, you know, he'd just talk. And then he came up. And finally one of the students says, Dr. Walkie, how come you know so much? Just like that, you know. And Dr. Walkie looked kind of stunned. He hadn't thought about that. He said, well, I suppose every time I learn from scripture, I try to apply it that day. And that way it becomes a part of me. And I suppose that's what's going on. I don't try to memorize anything. I just try to apply it in my life. And that's really something we need to keep in mind. If Israel had this attitude of trying to apply what they first heard from the prophets when they began to warn them, it would have been a completely different story. And they could have repented and gone forward. But as it was, they didn't. And so they lost. So God help us to pay attention to what God is telling us now, lest we suffer his silence. Mm-hmm.